Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now faith, not yesterday's faith, not tomorrow's faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Starting our September Wednesday series called Heroes, those who risked it all for God's glory. And you know what I love about this title is because too many times we look at faith to produce stuff for us. But faith really is to bring God glory because he's the gift giver and the ultimate, amen, the reason why we are, the reason we praise. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I have faith, but I'm getting more. You may be seated in the presence of God. In this series, there's five goals that we want to encourage you with as we dive into Hebrews 11. And my hope is over the next four Wednesdays is that not only do we talk about what faith is, but we talk about what faith is not, but also we talk about how to apply faith and receive what God has called us to have. Hebrews 11 is filled with great stories of men and women who did great things and had great moments of faith that produced greatness in their life. But these five things, we want to awaken faith in the hearts of men and women. We want to build faith. We want to increase faith. You say build and increase, isn't that the same thing? No, first you've got to build a foundation of faith, and then you can start increasing, building the building of faith. Number four, we want you to unleash faith. You should not have a faith savings account. Faith is meant to be used all the time. And when I use it all up, I get more. And if I use a lot on Monday, guess what? It's there on Tuesday. Faith is something that is supposed to be used. And faith is not just a worship thing, not just a Wednesday or Sunday thing. Faith is supposed to be lived out loud. Let me preface that by saying faith in Christ is supposed to be lived out loud. And then we'll finally get to, hopefully, faith in real life, getting faith out of the church and into real life. Living Way Church is known for so many things. We have our 40-plus year history. Living Way is known as a house of worship. When you have 47 years of ministry, 47 years of Sundays and Wednesdays, we've never not had church on Sunday, never not had church on Wednesday. We're talking about thousands of services over the last 47 years, and Pastor Becky and team after team after team has led us, and now her grandchildren, Tyler and Jaden, and their teams, and hundreds of people have made this a house of worship. When you come into Living Way, you know you're going to feel the presence of God and the Spirit of God, not because of talent, but because these worship leaders usher us into the presence of God. I literally believe that heaven opens every Sunday and every Wednesday at Living Way, and people feel something different, and they feel the presence of God. Living Way is known as a Holy Ghost church. Now, some people use that as a slight. We've been called the Holy Roller Church. Is that church that speaks in tongues? Is that church where they run the aisles? Is that the church where they dance? Oh, we're that church and so much more. Man, I remember back in the old building, we used to have Christopher Burke would stand in the front right down here, but in the old building, and do standing backflips. I can't even tumble in Jesus' name. He was doing standing backflips. We're that church. We are a demonstrative church. Why? Because God did not send Jesus to live in private for us. He lived a public life for us. He died a public death for us. He rose again and walked the earth in a public way. And so we are not a church that is going to whisper about him on Wednesdays and Sundays, but we are going to live out loud for Jesus. Jesus said, if my disciples remain quiet, I'll cause the stones to open up their mouth and give God praise. We are that church. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, we are that church. But one of my faves is that we are referred to as a house of faith. And one of the reasons we are a house of faith is because of our founding pastor sitting right here on the front row, Bishop Steve Fender. He is a faith preacher. He's not just a faith preacher, he's a faith walker. He can produce things outside of the pulpit. And he's always told me there's a lot of preachers that have pulpit faith. They can preach it and believe it when they're within 5 foot of the pulpit. But when they step off the platform or go behind closed doors, they don't have any faith. I want to tell you, our founding pastors are people of faith. I've seen them have some terrible prognosis, diagnosis, and take it to the Lord in faith and declare the word of God and stand on the promises of God to see those situations turn around. 90% of bishops' sermons have been on faith. 22 years ago this month, I preached my first sermon in a pulpit at Living Way Church next door in now what is known as the Family Life Center. And guess what I preached on? I preached on faith. I preached on Abraham in Genesis 12, a message titled, Are We There Yet? Faith to Follow. Being a house of faith or a church of faith is what makes this a miracle church. See, when you praise and worship like we do, and then you mix that with the word of God, and you mix that with the faith in Christ of the believer, miracles not are now a possibility. Miracles are not now just a probability. Miracles are guaranteed in the manifested presence of God, where worship is, where faith is, where the believer is. God shows up and does what only God can do. Remember, Jesus is the one that puts fun in funeral. Every funeral Jesus showed up to in the Word of God, the funeral was canceled because they got out of the grave. They got out of the casket. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is still alive today. Well, why don't we see miracles like that anymore? It isn't because God's power has diminished. It isn't because God is not doing what he used to do. The reason we don't see miracles like that anymore is we are too busy chasing things instead of chasing God. We are too focused on things instead of being focused on Jesus. And I'm here to tell you in the room and online, if you don't know Jesus, we've come to introduce you to Jesus tonight. But if you know Jesus, I've come to tell you, get to know him a little better tonight. So the reason is not because he doesn't do those things. It is because faith, in some regards, especially in our Western world, is at an all-time low. We put more faith in politicians than we do in Jesus. We put more faith in the stock market, in economy, and money than we do in Jesus. We put more faith in people than we do in Jesus. Faith in Christ is what causes us to worship like we worship, to pray like we pray, and to believe like we believe. Let me say that again. Faith in Christ is what causes us to worship like we worship, to pray like we pray, and to believe like we believe. Have you ever heard somebody that called whining prayer? Anybody ever hear that? Anybody? When we used to have prayer meetings, I remember walking by, and there was always this one person that would just be laying around, and it was just, oh, Jesus, please, please, please. You say, that's prayer. No, that's not prayer, because they never expressed anything. Sometimes I cry when I pray, but I know who I'm talking to. See, we're not talking to God like we are the tax district trying to beg them to lower our taxes. When I talk to God, I'm not trying to beg him to do anything. All I'm doing is reminding him that I know what your word says. I know the authority that I've been given as a believer. And God, if you said it can happen on this earth, you better believe that in faith, I'm going to stand and I'm going to pray. Why? Because I believe that you are who you said that you are. My faith in Christ changes the way I worship. So, well, I just don't worship like that. Well, then you don't really believe he's in the room. Because if your favorite political candidate came walking down the side aisle today, a lot of you would stand and give them an applause, which is more than some of you have done since you've been in here tonight. And that's for somebody that doesn't know you, doesn't care to know you, just wants your vote. Don't you find it odd that all the San Antonio politicians always show up at Living Way during election cycles? I never see them in odd years. I only see them when it's a few months and they're here to, that's why I tell them, hey, when you're going to get up behind the pulpit, ask them for your vote because that's the only reason you're here. You say, man, they might not want to come back. I don't care if they do come back. If the only reason they're coming is to ask for your vote, they can do that on the TV. The reason that when we pray, when we worship, is because we believe that God is real, that he's in the room today. See, that is the difference between us and a lot of places, is I literally believe that when we begin to worship tonight, that God said, I inhabited the praises of Israel. We are grafted in as Israelis. And so tonight at 7 o'clock, God said, excuse me, I've got an appointment at San Antonio, Texas, Living Way Church. There's a group of believers that are blessing my name, that are singing hallelujah, and it is my job as God to not be a man that lies, but to step in and fulfill that promise. It's the reason we pray the way we pray, we worship the way we worship, believe the way we believe. Faith in Jesus is why the altars are open at Living Way every service, so that people can make a faith move. As long as I am alive, as long as I am involved at Living Way Church, which will be until the day I die, I am here to tell you the altars will always be open. I am not going to preach a Jesus to you that you cannot experience for yourself. I'm not going to preach a Holy Ghost to you that you cannot receive. And I know you can get it at your seat, and I know you can get it through the lens at your home, but there's something special about you taking 50 steps to say, hey, publicly I'm announcing to all of heaven, all of hell, and to my comrades and the people around me that I love Jesus and I want more of Jesus in my life. Faith in God is why we have seen cancers healed at Living Way hundreds of times. I was encouraged just this afternoon, and I told her since I've seen her today that I haven't been able to reply to it, getting ready for tonight's service, but we've added yet another cancer healing report. 100% cancer free. Got her test results back today. Why is that? Because we are a people of faith. Because she is a person of faith. Because we've got a God that is still in the miracle working business. And it's not that God is withholding anything from us. God is just looking down saying, is there anybody that has enough faith to believe what the word of God says they can actually receive? That's why we've seen cancers healed at Living Way. It's why the woman was baptized next door, blind, and when she came out of the water, she could see. That takes faith, y'all. It's why HIV has been healed at Living Way. Documented cases. Come on now. It's a reason why addictions have been broken. It's a reason why we can cast out demons. Why? Because we have a faith in Jesus, that it's not a book of fairy tales called the Bible, but the Bible is the recorded history of a real God that came down in flesh and called himself Jesus, died on a cross so that we could operate in faith. However, after saying all of those great things about Living Way being a house of faith, I want to move every believer and unbeliever in the room or online tonight. I want us to move from just attending a house of faith, but rather to living a life of faith. Can I just tell you, faith is fun. When you get out in this real world and the devil's throwing everything at you, including the kitchen sink, and you can just stand there and grin and look at everything he's doing, and he's over here messing around, and he's reaching over here, and you just say, oh, my God is going to supply every need that I have. Devil, I don't know why you're even trying this. You have failed over and over again, but give me your best shot, because I've got a God that is still in the miracle working business. His word is what I'm standing on. It's what I'm declaring. I'm believing in faith. You talk about a different kind of life. You get bad news from the doctor, it's a faith walk now. You get issues going on in your marriage, it's a faith walk now. Now you get a front row seat to see how God is going to show up in your life. Remember this, all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. I don't have to like all things, but sometimes I'm just perplexed looking at everything in my life and saying, God, these don't look like the ingredients to a miracle. But when you get through mixing them together and you get through putting your thumb over here and sweeping your hand over here and whispering to this person over there, in 6 months, 6 weeks, 6 years, I'm going to look back and say, wow, God made all of that turn into all of this. Wow, what a good thing by a good God. Faith is fun. I know that's not a revelatory, maybe not a theological statement, but faith is fun. When you can show up and it doesn't matter what the enemy's saying, your faith in God does not waver. The more words you have, the more faith you're going to have. The more words you have, the more faith you're going to have, which is going to lead to more miracles. The more miracles you have in your past, which now becomes your testimony, you can look back and say, I remember what God did in 2018, and this is just going to be just like that, and I know God is going to do what only God can do. So our first thing to do tonight, church, is to awaken faith. Can I make this statement today that you have more faith than you think you do? Can I tell you to not compare yourselves to great men and women, generals of faith that you see on TV and you listen to their podcast? Can I just tell you to not say, man, I wish I had as much faith as they do? You do. I do. We do. But our faith sometimes is not focused. Everybody exercised faith today. You got in your car and turned the key. That takes faith. Hopefully, you didn't even have to say, I hope this thing starts. If you're like me, you're surprised when it doesn't start. That's what real faith is. Faith is just taking that step and knowing that it's going to work out in my favor. Faith is not even a calculated risk. I believe in taking risk in the world, in the secular world. I believe in taking financial risk as long as they are calculated risk. But living a faith life is not even risky. Because I know that I know that I know. Come on, somebody. Don't lose it. That I know. I know that when I take this step, God is going to make sure there's somewhere for me to put my foot. I know when I declare this thing, God's not going to leave me out here saying, doing nothing and leaving me out here on my own. Faith does have me out here living risky by the world standards, but it's no risk at all. God called me to it. God called me through it. He'll give me it's called a faith, awakened faith. You've got more faith than you think. We've just got to get your faith in the right people. And there's only one people. It's a person. His name is Jesus. Got to get your faith off of people and onto Jesus. I love doctors, but I serve the great physician. So when there's something wrong with this body, I listen to the doctors so I know how to pray. I listen. Come on now. Don't miss that. I listen to the doctors so I know what to declare. I listen to the doctors. They are saying what they see, but faith is saying what I don't see, because faith makes things which are is made up of things which do not appear, and they come out of nothing. And so I want to encourage you today. I am here to awaken the faith within you and tell you, get your faith off of that. Get your faith off of them. Get your faith off of him. Get your faith off of money. Get your faith off of Washington. Get your faith off of that partner. Get your faith off of this. Get your faith off of Living Way. Get your faith off of your favorite pastor. Get your faith off of your preacher and get it on Jesus. When you focus that prayer and that faith on Jesus, everything changes. So many people put their faith in anything and everything but God. I've come to awaken your faith tonight and remind you, you've got enough faith to do whatever God has called you to do, but we need to get your faith back on his word and the person of Jesus Christ. Somewhere along the line, your faith has shifted. And let me tell you something, as Bishop often says, well-meaning, misguided people can mess you up. Don't put your faith in someone who calls himself faith-filled. My faith is not in anybody but Jesus. My faith, that is why it doesn't matter what scandal breaks out across the world in a church. It doesn't matter what ministry over here is doing this. Why? Because my faith is not in a church. My faith is not in a denomination. My faith is not in a pastor. My faith is not in the Pope. My faith is in Jesus Christ. Romans 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. Verses 1, 2, and 3. One of my favorite texts in all of the Bible. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. One translation says, it is not too much to ask for you to give your life. This is a hard truth in 2022. I love the words of the song Available that we just sang, and that phrase really didn't jump out to me, but in context with this, in the context of this sermon series, it jumped out to me when Jaden sang, nothing to you, God, that I offer you, nothing is a sacrifice. We talk about sacrifice all the time. God didn't ask you to die for him, he asked you to live for him. He said, I gave my only son, bled out, nails through the hands, nails through the feet, spear through his side, plucked the beard from his face, 39 lashes from the cat of nine tails on his back. All of this, and he died for you, died for me, and he said, all I'm asking you to do is live for me. We have people on the other side of our globe that are dying for Jesus, martyrs for Jesus, because they will not denounce him in other worlds, in the Muslim worlds, and the extreme other religions of this world. They are gladly having their heads chopped off, gladly taking bullets for Jesus. And here we are, and Jesus said, I'm not saying you have to die for me. I just need you to live for me. And the only way you can live for Jesus is to live a life of faith. Many years ago in the tragedy of Columbine High School, we've heard the story, we've seen the movie, we've seen the depiction of the gunman who goes into the classroom and literally asks, if there's any Christians in this room, show yourself. For there to be one teenager that crawls out from her hiding place, says, I believe in Jesus Christ, to be shot to death. I'm not even casting stones at you because I don't know what I would do in that situation. Again, pulpit faith would tell you, I would declare, shoot me, I'm a lover of Jesus Christ. He's my Savior, he's my Lord. But chances are, if we're not talking about Jesus in a free world, why would we declare Jesus with a gun to our head? He's saying, I died for you. All I'm asking is that you live for me. And to live the life for Christ has to be a life of faith, because faith is where God gets the glory. Faith enough to save you, God gets the glory. People look at you and say, I remember when you used to be like this and do this and have this habit and you were running all over town, and I can't hardly resolve the UIC with the person you used to see. And that's when we speak up and say, it was Jesus that made the difference in my life. His blood shed for me, his grace freely given to me. Now what we're doing is we're deflecting and reflecting that glory. When they gave you the 10 count and said it was over and said you've got cancer and you've got 6 months to live, but here you are 16 years later and you still have life and breath in those lungs, and people say, man, I remember thinking you it was over for you, and you said, oh yeah, everybody including the doctors and surgeons thought it was over, but I went down on my knees and I prayed to a God and I declared in faith his word. I knew he was a healer, and look at what the Lord has done for me. Now he gets the glory. Living a life for Jesus takes faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Don't act like the world. Thought I'd get a better amen there on a Wednesday night. Don't act like the world, but rather be transformed. Well, I was going to say something there. I'll hold that one. But be ye transformed. I'll just go ahead and say it. That's the only trans you can be. See, why can't we get a big applause of that on a Wednesday night? You're a believer, right? See, now that's just a pity clap. Transformed. I'm not making light of their plight and their confusion. And as I said on Sunday, if they're confused, well, I was born this way, but I identify this way. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you'd be transformed by a lot of church attendance. That you'd be transformed if you give $1,000 a month to your local church. That you'd be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say, through grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, bring it down a notch or two. Tell him it ain't about you. Don't think, someone said, why? Someone really told him, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Give me a couple more minutes. To every man that is among you, every person in this room, everyone watching online, every bishop, every pastor, every apostle, every president, every politician, every teacher, every dream teamer, everybody that serves on a team at Living Way, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't be able to tie our shoes, walk a straight line, hold a job, get married, stay married, get anointed, stay anointed. Everything that is good is because of him. Every part of my life that's messed up, I can't even blame it on the devil. Some of it's just because Brandon was being Brandon, acting silly, and not having his mind continually renewed, which leads me to this point, church. Mind renewal is not a one-time thing at salvation. Mind renewal is every day of our lives saying, God, I'm continually being transformed. And I skipped over this point before, but I know there's a lot of faith-filled people in the room today, but I'm here to tell you, I've been preaching faith for 22 years. I've sat under the greatest ministry of faith for 40 years, and I'm still growing in my faith. I'm still learning in my faith. I watch teachers, and I watch people in education, in all fields of education. Every year, they've got to go have continuing education, because as the world is changing and evolving, they have to evolve their teaching methods to keep up. I am here to tell you, as the world changes and evolves and continues to go downhill, my faith is evolving. It's getting stronger. It's getting more focused. It's getting louder. It's producing more. And so it doesn't matter if you've been coming a Living Way for 2 weeks or two decades. All of our faith should be, God, I want more. Let's say this again, verse 3, 4. I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. But to think soberly. The worst kind of drunk you can get is on yourself. Because when you get drunk on a Friday, you got a hangover Saturday and it's done. Unless you made bad decisions, then those decisions might live 18 years. Is that too much on a Wednesday? Getting drunk on yourself, the worst drunk you can be. Why? Because you're with you all the time. I know that every good thing that happens to me is because of Jesus, and so I lean into him at all times. When I feel myself feeling myself, That's when I go back to Jesus and say, all right, transform. Let's transform once again. But to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. I end with this. This passage that Paul writes to the Romans, it deals with our mind and our thought life. Your thoughts are so powerful because your thoughts are going to be what gives way to your words. Your words give way to your world. So your thought life becomes paramount. Renewing our mind, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, brings transformation. The writer, Paul, immediately goes into verse 3 talking about the way we think and how faith can change that. Here's a revelation. I hope you catch this tonight in closing. That revelation should change our confession, and it will change our life. You might say, and I've said this before, well, I think, and then you can fill in the blank. If we really believe Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3, that transformation happens by the renewing of our mind, then Paul reminds us, don't think of yourself in such a way that causes you to get drunk on yourself, but use faith to change your thoughts so that you can live a transformed life. So you might be saying that phrase, well, I think that. Well, the good thing is what God says is more powerful than anything that we think. Well, I just think that so-and-so should. I don't care what you think. What does God say? Well, Pastor Brandon, what do you think about this issue? My thoughts are not going to change anything. They're not transformative. But let me tell you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us to take captive of every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Stand on your feet. Let me read this while you're standing. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not like the weapons of the world, because we're using faith. They're using fists. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Here's the thing, and we're talking about living a faith world where God gets all the glory. We're talking about becoming a member of the Hall of Faith and the Hall of Fame when it comes to faith. Talking about leaving a legacy of faith. We are a transgenerational church. Should Jesus tarry, your great-grandchildren are going to be in this church. That's why some of the changes we've made, you're already saved going to heaven. You don't need Living Way. You still need Jesus. But we're going after your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids. We're going after the drug addict. We're going after that girl that's in the trap house tonight that doesn't even know where she's at. We're going after those being sex trafficked and the sex traffickers. So when we talk about a life of faith, it all starts with our thoughts, how we think. And I love verse 5 says, we make those thoughts become obedient to Jesus Christ. So when a thought comes in my mind that doesn't match up with the word, I take that thought and I push it into the word and I make it change to match Jesus. I make it change not to match culture, but to match the Creator, to match His word, to match His promise, to match faith. I want to open this altar right now for those of you that are wanting to leave a legacy of faith. Come on, mom and dad, if you've got kids in your home, I'm going to invite you to this altar. Why? Because we're making that next Hall of Faith at Living Way. We're making that next House of Faith at Living Way. Not this House of Faith, your House of Faith. If you're married, I'd grab my spouse by the hand and I'd get to this altar and say, hey, I'm ready to take our faith to a new level.